Good morning. Welcome to the Sunday, November 8th, 2015 edition of Waking Up, Freeing Ourselves from Work. And that was Abangoma by Umasekela, the healers. And that's what we are. We are the healers. And almost time, if not time, is time for us to go out into the world and bring others into that sphere of healing. I posted a word beat. My son, every now and then, generates one and shares, and I put it out as a word beat that refers to a story retold by Lucian from Syria. And it was to correct the some of the errors in my rendition of the story, so I hope you got a chance to listen to it. The point of this, of my sharing the story from Lucian, was to show that very little has changed in the thousands of years of class, and that we who choose to be the healers are embarking on a monumental mission to finally, at long last, restore freedom to the human. And I encourage all of you to take that mission seriously. Sisters and brothers, Peter Kropotkin begins his essay, Law and Authority, bemoaning our loss of a sense of agency, our increasing passivity, with the deepening authority of the state. And while the invention of the global state, the global interstate system, made class consciously, intentionally totalitarian, i.e., no matter how we turn and twist, chafing at the bars and bits, no matter how we struggle against it, in the end, we find our cage awaits us. This is accomplished, as Peter Kropotkin helps us see, as does Wallerstein and you other folk. This has been accomplished, but Peter Kropotkin in particular, because he hones right in on the strategy by words only, accomplished by means of words only, and a whole lot of violence. I don't mean to trivialize the mind-boggling extent of it, their violence, these power guys, and their determination to rein us in. And the other strategies keeping us so busy and so separated. You know, jobs and atomization and manufacturing scarcity and violence and the law. We're going to be talking about that. The centralized state structure that is another means of keeping us busy, always jumping. Another means of manufacturing scarcity, because it ensures there is never enough, despite the earth being abundant. When we are kept busy and separated, we can't develop our thought process. And that's changing, because for many, many reasons, we're sharing our thoughts globally. They cannot provide the jobs, and more folk are regaining their thought process because they're able to sit back and look at this system more objectively. And I'm hoping the word is spreading about some of the dynamics, the processes, the factors that have not been discussed, that have been intentionally suppressed, that we need in order to get on an authentic path to restoring our freedom. Let's listen for a moment to the words of Peter Kropotkin. Quote, "We are so perverted by an education which from infancy seeks to kill in us the spirit of revolt and to develop that of submission to authority. We are so perverted by this existence under the ferule, which is a metal band of a law which regulates every event in life, our birth, our education, our development, our love, our friendship, that if this state of things continues, we shall lose all initiative, all habit of thinking for ourselves. Our society seems no longer able to understand that it is possible to exist otherwise than under the reign of law, elaborated by a representative government and administered by a handful of rulers. And even when it has gone so far as to emancipate itself from the thraldom, its first care has been to reconstitute it immediately. The year one of liberty has never lasted more than a day, for after proclaiming it, men put themselves the very next morning under the yoke of law and authority. The confused mass of rules of conduct called law, which has been bequeathed to us by slavery, serfdom, feudalism, and royalty, has taken the place of those stone monsters before whom human victims used to be immolated. This new worship has been established with especial success since the rise to supreme power of the middle class, the bourgeoisie. This is not the middle class we think of today. This is the middle class of the post-French Revolution, who today have bloomed, blossomed into Plato's tribesmen. And I suspect they want us to call them the Illuminati. Let's don't, please. These are guys who stay in the shadows because they have been trained, deeply trained in secrecy by their parents and mentors. A mission has been bestowed on them, and they are determined to realize that mission. So this new worship has been established with especial success since the rise to supreme power of the middle class, the bourgeoisie, since the great French Revolution. Under the ancient regime, men spoke little of laws, unless indeed it were with Montesquieu, Rousseau, and Voltaire to oppose them to royal caprice. Obedience to the good pleasure of the king and his lackeys was compulsory on pain of hanging or imprisonment. But during and after the revolutions, when the lawyers rose to power, they did their best to strengthen the principle upon which their ascendancy depended. The middle class at once accepted it as a dike to dam up the popular torrent. The priestly crew hastened to sanctify it, to save their bark from foundering amid the breakers. Finally, the people received it as an improvement upon the arbitrary authority and violence of the past. Relatively speaking, law is a product of modern times. For ages and ages, mankind lived without any written law, even that graved in symbols upon the entrance stones of a temple. During that period, human relations were simply regulated by customs, habits, and usages, made sacred by constant repetition and acquired by each person in childhood, exactly as he learned how to obtain his food by hunting, cattle raising, or agriculture. Such was law, and it has maintained its twofold character to this day. Its origin is the desire of the ruling class to give permanence to customs imposed by themselves for their own advantage. Its character is the skillful commingling of customs useful to society, customs which have no need of law to ensure respect, with other customs useful only to rulers, injurious to the mass of the people, and maintained only by the fear of punishment. The history, and you know, I'm so glad he's pointed this out. I mean, it is really obvious hearing him say that what he's saying is true, and yet never discussed that this is the case, that there is this twofold commingling of customs that we don't need any hammer or bludgeoning in order, you know, no threat hanging over us to do, you know, and that the law exists solely for the benefit of the minuscule few. And the vast majority of us simply need to begin that restoration of common sense, which as soon as we begin saying it to our brothers and sisters, they immediately not just get it, but get turned on by it, want it. Of course, this makes perfect sense. We want decentralization. We want to own our own gifts. We want to work together with our neighbors and brothers and sisters to solve the problems that face us. We want to be able to help when we learn of trouble that others have wherever it happens in the world. We want to be powerful. We want to be able to grow limitlessly. Why not? Let's talk about it. Let's do it. That's the reality of what we'll discover when we start taking this word out and working with our brothers and sisters around strategies to realize the potential of the internet and instantaneous communication.